So it's another one of the I wills of Christ. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. The Lord Jesus spoke these words to 11 country bumpkins, you could say, in an upper room. Because that's really what the disciples were. People looked at them and they just thought they were country bumpkins. You know, fishermen, tax collectors, kind of outcasts. But yet the Lord Jesus sits down with those 11 disciples. Of course, Judas wasn't included in this promise. This promise doesn't apply to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Christ. But the other 11 disciples, this promise applied to them. And so I want you to kind of put yourself here in the upper room. If you can try to picture and imagine yourself sitting in the upper room that night. Or, well, maybe I shouldn't say sitting, because they didn't sit like you're sitting tonight. They reclined. That was the style back in Bible times. That was the way the people relaxed. And they were all reclining around that upper room. The Lord Jesus would have been reclining too. Sometimes people get taken up with posture and what way you should speak to people. Oh, some people say you should stand when you're speaking. Some people say you should sit when you're speaking. Some people say you should stand when you're praying. Some people say you should sit when you're praying. And people will argue and they'll fall out over posture. Well, you see, that's just a wee minor issue, and we're not to be concerned with minor issues. So here they are, they're all reclining around the upper room, and they're listening to the lovely Lord Jesus. And there's just a wee handful of people. And the Lord comes to these 11 people to encourage them. That word comfortless literally means orphans. Orphans. I will not leave you orphans. The Lord Jesus was about to go out and die on Calvary's cross, the next day actually. And here on the eve of his crucifixion, he realizes that when he dies, these 11 men are going to feel like orphans. They're going to feel abandoned. They're going to feel deserted. And so the Savior comes here to encourage them. And I want to encourage you tonight. I trust that you'll be encouraged from this text of Scripture. I trust you'll pick up on something in the message that you can hold on to, something that will help you as you serve the Lord. So here's the text. Just to remind ourselves again, Jesus says, I will not leave you. Now, this is really the Lord Jesus promising to come to them by His Holy Spirit. I believe that's the primary interpretation here. I will not leave you, I will come to you. Jesus is pointing them forward to Pentecost, whenever He would return to the earth, as it were, in the form of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ on earth. The Holy Spirit is the representative of Christ on earth. And He comes to you and to me to make Christ real to us. And back at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to make Christ real to these 11 disciples. He came to fulfill the promise that Jesus made in the upper room. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came to those orphans or those disciples. You see, dear friends, the Lord is always with His people. We have the assurance of His presence. He promised that He would be with the disciples as they set out on the great commission, the great work of worldwide evangelization. The Lord promised that He wouldn't leave them, He wouldn't abandon them, He would be with them. And the Lord promises the same to us tonight. But I want you to go back to the Old Testament tonight, and we're going to think about some characters from the Old Testament who knew the Lord's presence. And then we'll fast forward into the New Testament, and we'll think of maybe one or two characters from the New Testament that we could point to as people who knew the Lord always with them. Go back to the book of Genesis to a man called Joseph. And I want to tell you tonight, friends, that the Lord was with Joseph in a prison. The Lord was with Joseph in a prison. You see, Joseph had been thrown into prison wrongfully. You know the story about Potiphar's wife and how she tempted Joseph. She tried to trap Joseph, but Joseph, by the grace of God, said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And of course, Joseph, he just took to his heels and left his coat with that, well, we could almost call her a harlot. But you see, whenever Potiphar came in, guess whose side of the story Potiphar took? Whose side of the story he believed? It was his wife's. And poor Joseph was thrown into the prison. Prisons back then, of course, weren't like the hotels that we have today. You know how the prisons today, they're just like a hotel, five-star hotel. And somebody said to me there recently, it'd be good if we took the poor old folk in the old people's homes and put them in the prisons. And if we put the prisoners in the old people's homes, maybe that'd be better. But prisons back in Bible times, I tell you, they weren't the kind of place you wanted to be. But you know, there's a lovely promise in Genesis 39, verse 20. We're told something wonderful in this verse. Genesis 39, verse 20. Listen to it. "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him there in the prison. I'm sure, you know, Joseph thought to himself, can things get any worse? First of all, Lord, you allowed me to be thrown into the pit. And then, Lord, you allowed me to be taken to Egypt. And now, Lord, I'm in the prison. What's going to happen next? And, you know, Joseph could have been forgiven for thinking that God had abandoned him. I wonder tonight in the meeting, do you have that feeling about you? Do you feel that the Lord has abandoned you? I wonder tonight, brother or sister, are you going through a fiery trial at the present time and you somehow don't sense that the Lord is with you? Well, Joseph felt like you. But the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him in a prison. Mind you, this is not the only prison where you find the Lord with his people, because if you come into the New Testament, John the Baptist was thrown into prison, but the Lord was with him in the prison. Peter was in the prison, and the Lord was with Peter, the man who had failed miserably. Paul and Silas, think of Acts 16. At midnight, they sang praises unto God. They were in the prison, and the prisoners heard them. How was it that they were able to sing in the prison? Well, because the presence of the Lord was with them. When you know that the Lord Jesus, the risen Savior, is with you, you can sing no matter where you are. And there was Paul and Silas. I don't know how good singers they were, whether they were nightingales or gales in the night like me, but the Lord was with them, and they knew his presence. Friend, it doesn't matter if you're in a prison or wherever you are. As the hymn writer says, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. So when we think about Joseph, we are reassured that the Lord is with us. The Lord did not leave Joseph. Neither did he leave another Old Testament character. I want you to think about Daniel. The prophet Daniel. And just as the Lord was with Joseph in a prison, so the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den. Yes, the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den. The Lion of Judah was with him in the lion's den. And my, what a lovely thought that is. Just to think that there was Daniel in the midst of the lions. Somebody said, and I think they were kind of a joke, they said that the reason the lions didn't eat Daniel was because he was all backbone. Daniel had backbone. He stood up for the Lord. We need backbone today to take a stand for the Lord. But that's not the reason why the lions didn't eat Daniel. It was because the Lord was with them. And my, you can just picture those ferocious beasts, the kings of the jungle. And you can just imagine Daniel as he's hurled into the den. And you hear the growl of the lions, the roar of the lions. And they come running to him, about to devour him. But all of a sudden, the Lion of Judah steps out in front. And nobody can pass the Lion of Judah when he defends his people. And you see, the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den. The Lord is with you tonight. You might find yourself in a lion's den, or what feels like a lion's den. Sometimes it can even be like that in your own home. Boy, you can have people even in your own family, and they're just like a lion trying to devour you. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord still shuts the mouths of the lions. He was with Joseph in a prison. He was with Daniel in a lion's den. He was with three young men in an incinerator. I want you to think about that tonight. Who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the three young men, Daniel's friends, who were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And you know, as those three young men wouldn't budge and they wouldn't bow, thank God they didn't burn. Oh, they wouldn't bow to the idol. And Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, he had them thrown into the burning fiery furnace, into that incinerator. And he was waiting for them to be burned to pieces, burned to ashes. But they weren't. You see, the Lord was with them in that furnace. Now, think about Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire. Think about Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. And there was those three young men thrown into the fire. But you see, the Lord who is a consuming fire, the Lord who is a wall of fire round about his people, he was there already. And you see, the fire can't come where the fire has already been. Oh, those young men, if the Lord hadn't been there, they'd have been burned. They'd have been burned to ashes, incinerated. But you see, the Lord was a wall of fire round about them. And old Nebuchadnezzar, he's rubbing his eyes and he's wondering, has he lost the ability to count? Because there was three men thrown into the fire, but now he sees four. And the other one is the Lord Jesus. I know the old modern versions say that it was a son of the gods. That's the way they put it. Ah, the good old authorized version, it says it was the like unto the Son of God. Jesus was there. And Jesus was a wall of fire round about those three young men. And he's still a wall of fire around young people today, young Christians who'll take their stand for him. Oh, I pray that young people today would take their stand for Christ. If only they would step out and just take a bold, courageous stand for the Savior, they would soon find that he's a wall of fire round about them. They would soon find that the Lord will be with them and the Lord will not desert them. God give us young people like Daniel's three friends. And so here we have the Lord with those three young men in an incinerator. The Lord was with them in the fire as they went through the fire. But surely this reminds us of Isaiah 43. You remember the Lord promised his people Israel, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Daniel's three friends experienced the fulfillment of Isaiah 43. They experienced the wonderful promise of God many years before given to the prophet. The Lord promised that when they walked through the fire, they wouldn't be burned and the flame wouldn't kindle upon them. And they were brought out of the furnace and there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. The only thing that burned was the ropes that were tied around them. And friends, it's amazing, you know, when you go through the trial and when you go through the furnace of affliction, even though you don't realize it, but actually the Lord's burning the ropes off you. The Lord's burning away the fetters. And if you haven't proved that already, you'll prove it sometime. So that's the Old Testament, but I want to finish off tonight by moving into the New Testament. And we find that there were men in the New Testament who experienced the presence of the Lord as well. We think of Paul, the apostle. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here was a man who knew the presence of the Lord. The Lord did not leave Paul comfortless. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Don't be discouraged if people forsake you, if people abandon you, even people that you would never expect to abandon you. Don't be surprised. Here's Paul, and everybody runs to leave him. They scatter in all directions, and he's left on his own. And so everybody forsakes him, but he goes on to say, I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Verse 17, this is wonderful. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Yes, Paul says, everybody else forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. Whenever Paul was deserted by all his so-called friends, the Lord, who is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, remained with him. And friends, I'm glad I can stand here tonight and testify that no matter what you go through, the Lord is always with you. And everybody else might run a mile from you and not want to touch you with a barge pole, but you can rest assured that your Savior will always be by your side. Now, there's sometimes you make a hash and it's self-inflicted, your problems. I've done that. I've made mistakes. You just pray that the Lord will help you to learn from your mistakes. But many a time we have made mistakes and we've brought trouble on ourselves, and it's at a time like that everybody will turn and leave you, and it's very easy to feel like, this is something that I deserve, and the Lord will leave me now. Everybody else has abandoned me, and surely the Lord will not stay with me. How could the Lord remain with me after being so foolish? And it's very easy to think like that, but I've got news for you tonight. You can't get rid of the Lord, because he's always there. My, what a friend he is. And he was with old Paul here. Paul was right at the end of the journey. He was about to go to a martyr's death, about to die for Christ and for the cause of Christ, but the Lord stood with him. Of course, he was on the ship too. You remember he was on the ship, and the ship was shipwrecked, but the Lord was with him as well. Oh, God is always with his people. The Savior has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One final character tonight. I want you to think about John the Apostle. We have read from his gospel, but I want you to turn over as we finish to the book of Revelation, also written by John. And chapter 1 of Revelation. And we read here in verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Lord was with Joseph in a prison. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the three young men in an incinerator. He was with Paul whenever everyone else abandoned him. And here we find that he's with John on a desert island. You know how sometimes people ask the question, if you were stranded on a desert island, what would you like to have, or who would you like to have with you? Well, I'd like to have the Lord. And John had the Lord with him on this desert island, the island of Patmos. People still go today. It's just off the west coast of the country we know today as Turkey. And there's people still go. Of course, they go on holiday to Turkey. But then there are Christians who go to Patmos, just off the coast of Turkey. And they go there to see the place where John was exiled. But the lovely thought is that the Lord was with John on a desert island. He was with him on the island of Patmos. I wonder, friend, tonight, do you feel like you're on a desert island? You kind of feel stranded, and you kind of feel deserted by everyone. Just feel as if you're just right out in the middle of the ocean. But isn't there a lovely promise comes to us from Psalm 139? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Ah, friends, there was John out in the middle of the sea, but the Lord was with him. And the Savior appears to him. He has this wonderful vision. He has this, it's just as if John is presented with this picture of Christ. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it's a beautiful vision. It's remarkable. John has a vision of the risen Christ. Of course, John didn't have a Bible. We don't need visions today because we have a Bible. And friends, there's nothing that will lift your spirits as much as catching a glimpse of the risen Christ from this book. As you study this book, seeing the risen Christ. John saw him, verse 12 of Revelation 1, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And it goes on there to give a description of the risen Lord Jesus. And my poor old John, at the end of it all, he falls flat on his face before him. Any one of us would do the same. You see, John was, he was wise enough and sensible enough to realize that he was just a poor old guilty sinner. And boy, when you realize that, you'll fall down before the Lord. And he falls down before the Savior. As if he was dead, the Bible says. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt that you're almost hanging over the pit of hell? Have you ever felt that hell's too good for you? Well, that's the way John felt that day, I believe. But what did Jesus do? Notice what it tells us there in verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, fear not. That's the message the Lord Jesus brings to you tonight as you start out on another week. I don't know what you'll have to face. Who knows what we'll have to face this week? Only the Lord knows that. But as we set out on another week, I want to tell you tonight, if you're a child of God, the Lord says to you, fear not. Yes, he was with John on the desert island, and he was with those other Bible characters. He was with those 11 country bumpkins in the upper room. And he's with us tonight, because he's the one who has promised, I will not leave you comfortless.